3, 2, 1. That's right. You're listening to the It's My Time podcast, a recording of the experiences, past and present, of everyday people.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and now, here's your host,
you know who it is,
the one, the only,
let's go.
Asher Chua.
Hey, welcome to the podcast, Niraj.
Thank you for having me.
For anyone that doesn't know you, who do you say you are?
I am an ex-engineer turned teacher, educator, dog dad, an adventurer, and a dreamer.
Nice. I guess we were just kind of catching up. We both graduated from University of the Georgia Institute of Technology, Georgia Tech for sure.
That's a good, yeah, that was one of the things that we joked on, right? We were there. It's not university. It's
yeah. But I guess in doing that, can you remind me what you studied and why you transferred from engineering to teaching? I think that's very commendable.
For sure. So started at Southern Polytech, which is no longer a school. Kennesaw State bought that out.
Yep.
And
that's why I'm repping the Pure Bliss Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, really? Oh, cool. Yeah. Ultimate. Oh, it's crazy. I was at Southern Poly, I was at the campus of Marietta for like a year and a half. Always wanted to go to Georgia Tech. So I did all my classes, all my hard, quote unquote, math classes at Southern Poly. Year and a half, and I transferred to Georgia Tech to pursue some type of engineering. Didn't know what it was. And when I got to campus, I just started taking, I remember, physics 2, MATLAB, all that craziness. And decided after a physics lab, when the light bulb went off on the circuit, a light bulb went off in my head that this was the way to go. Electricity is so cool. And it's like a little black magic, and I want to see what goes on. So, and little did I know, it got harder and harder, and it got more black magic-y. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. It was a hard time. It humbled you going to Georgia Tech, as you know, coming in from all walks of life, all people from all over the world, coming to a beautiful university and just, you know, studying and being supportive and trying to do the best you can.
That's awesome. And I guess I'd forgotten that you also went to SPUSU. I went there for three and a half years before transferring to Tech to finish up for the last two and a half. But similar to you, I try to do all my hard math classes there. I think I did differential equations and linear algebra were like the last ones. I think I got through like Calc 3. And by that point, it was just like, this stuff is interesting. But I went the civil engineering route, and I liked like the statics, dynamics.
Yes.
I had to retake some of those classes at Tech because they didn't accept them. But just like being introduced to different people from different walks of life, like similar from Southern Poly, but just like you're on a bigger stage at Tech. And it's just like, okay, like similar things is going through class. Like classes are kind of set up the same. Professors there, well-versed in their disciplines. And it's like when you take away the dauntingness of like, this is a big school, it's like, like it's just new material. It's harder, but it's not anything we haven't done before. It's not anything we can't do. But it's cool that you found that little spark that's just like, oh, okay, like I like this, even though it's harder. Like I feel like I can still do this.
Oh yeah, like that's I still remember my first MATLAB class. It was like, I don't know about you, but when you went to Southern Poly, it felt like that's college, and you're like, that's what it is. Okay, I can do this. And you go to Georgia Tech, and like the first test or the first quiz, you're like, wow, this is a whole different level. And it was scary, right? It's like, I thought I figured out college. I thought I figured out Calc 3, linear algebra, all these things. And then you get to Georgia Tech and you see the standards kind of raise. And you had to rethink about what hard means or rigor means or studying means. That was a lost art for me until I got to Tech.
Man, talk about that a little bit more, because it's like sometimes I think some things are quick for me to forget, or I like try and put them so far behind my mind. I'm like, there was a transition that needed to be made.
Yeah, it was like the willingness to accept and understand that you needed help was hard, because Southern Poly was easy in a way because it was straightforward. It was like, okay, here's what the test is. You're good. Professors were, you know, kind of good at what they did on just like giving you what you needed. And then like you got the test. I still remember like a Calc 2 class. It was like, here's what's on the test. And it was on the test. It was like, great.
Right.
And nothing wrong with Georgia Tech style, but this Georgia Tech style was like, your bar is here. you're here, you got to get here. Like, I can help you, but like, you have to do it yourself. Otherwise, you'll get left behind. So the hard part for me was like seeing that after the first test and understanding how to get to that point. And that was the day I realized that I need to go to, you know, office hours every day. I need to like, I didn't like read the book or anything before, but I just had to devote some time to understanding how to reach to that level.
Yeah. And I think to your point, for me, it seemed like that sense, I guess they say you need to spend twice as much studying for the class as you do in the class. So like if you have a 1 hour class, you're going to spend 2 hours outside of the class studying the material and like preparing for the test. And it's like, yeah, you got to do that because otherwise you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, that's kind of my teaching philosophy too, is, you know, if you, everyone wants an A, everyone wants to do well, but here's what you got to do. And if you don't do it, you can't be mad you didn't get it.
Right.
You just got to get better. Like, I'm not giving out A's. I'm not giving out B's. You deserve those A's and B's by showing me that you can work. And when you don't, that's fine too. Be okay with that. There's a lot of students that come into my class that are like, oh, well, I love math. I was like, that's great. Do you love math enough to do what's needed to get to the A in my class? And of course I'll help them and stuff, but it's just it made me understand as a teacher of how to deliver the best student, like the best way for a kid to learn. Mm-hmm. And after going through it at Tech, I was like, wow, if you really try, you can literally get this grade you want and you'd be just as happy because you did what you needed to do. Is no one's handing you stuff. And it feels so good to just pass sometimes.
Yeah, it felt like, to me, as I remember kind of looking back, it really does feel like we're reminiscing it somewhat. But it's like, I think Tech is a good, or just like high level university is a good way of reminding you that this is how the world will kind of treat you. Like, life is going to give you what it's going to give you. A lot of things may hit you up at the same time where you feel like the professors are conspiring together because you've already picked out your major, you know what you're studying, this is like the track, this is the discipline. It's like, okay, you have so much time allocated to your coursework, you need to be looking at internships, you need to be talking with businesses, you need to make yourself marketable, because like this fall, I'll be going back that way. But it's funny to be able to 10 years later be on the opposite end of where I was before, where it was like I'd tried years before to attend a career fair, to get an internship or to get a co-op. But it's like I had to sit down and be honest with myself that fall of 2013 and just be like, what I've been trying hasn't been working. And I need to talk to an expert, like a student that's successfully gotten results back to back. They said they wanted to work this job. They did their interviews. They worked that job. They went through the interview process at the career fair, talked to so many companies, and they got like the end result. And when I just had that light bulb go off and I asked, I literally got the information I needed. Like, I still needed to study the information, but I went with a completely different plan of execution where it was like, I'm going to miss this class in order to go basically present myself to get a job offer. I talked to like 24 companies within like 2 hours, went around, and then ended up getting an offer from a company I happened to talk to back in the spring semester. And again, it was just on a co-op, happened to have some time off working on call. And it just, I was helping with my college to say, hey, if you guys need any help setting up or anything like that, I'll be there. And then I just happened to talk to one of the companies that was there. And I was like, I'll be graduating in the fall. They're like, yeah, we'll be back. And from that, not expecting or thinking anything of it, but like thinking differently, approaching the situation different, saying, I have to get an outcome from this. I think that's what led me to pursue it differently and ultimately come out with the first job out of college.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because in the end, what are you in college for, right? Like, studying is one thing. I realized I wasn't as smart, quote unquote, as other students, but I realized I'm not as awkward as some of them too. I was like, I can talk, I can speak, I can, you know, communicate. Yeah. And I was like, what can I do to be different? Mm-hmm. And after about like a semester and a half, I was there spring semester, then summer, I started applying to be an RA, started to be like, you know, social type of things. Yeah. And I finally got a volunteer position to be a tour guide. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 5 semesters, and it was actually really cool because I got to realize like what people came into Georgia Tech thinking. And I could like get their brain, like, what do you think about Georgia Tech? And a lot of students were like, if I go here, I get a job. Like that was it. It wasn't like work. It was just like Georgia Tech degree, I get a job.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, makes sense. I'm in it. That's my goal. And my older friends were graduating with like really high GPAs from what I could tell. And they weren't getting jobs. And I was like, wait, you're a great student. Why aren't you getting jobs? It's like, well, the feedback was, I don't have any internships. I don't have any co-ops. I just study.
Right.
Whoa.
And I was like, that's all. Set yourself apart.
Yeah, you didn't set yourself apart. And I was like, let me dive deeper into that. So I went to career fairs and stuff like that, just like you. And one of the interviews I went to, I still remember this, and like this lit a fire under me because I was so excited for this process. My GPA was low. Mm-hmm. And at the time, and still was when I graduated, and they interviewed me. They're like, look, you're a great candidate for an internship program. Mm-hmm. But if there's another person that has the similar like stuff you have, but a higher GPA, we're going to have to take them.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? And I came back and I was like, who am I? What is this? And I realized that company values something that I don't value, which is mm-hmm. just grades. Mm-hmm. And that's not right for me. I need to bust my butt to find a company that understands my values and who I am and what can I bring to them, rather than trying to say, hey, here's me. I can mold myself into what you want mm-hmm. and lose yourself in that process. Cause that's what I saw a lot of tourees wanting to do.
It's like, I just want to fit. I want to fit the mold of the school. But I guess that's why it seems like there's a big emphasis on having how would you call it? Like there's a culture of a school or there's a culture of a company. Like people talk about that. This is our culture. Mm-hmm. These are our values. And I think they kind of espouse that to let people know, like, these are our standards. Like it's up mm-hmm. to you to match the standards or see if our standards meet. That way it's like, we'll know, we either start out at the honeymoon phase and like, we'll mm-hmm. be getting a divorce real quick. Or like, if this is a long-term partnership where you can see someone working somewhere for like 40 years and so on and so forth, it's like, okay, like some people may be stuck. Other people may have just found the right fit for them. And it just continues to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how you say like the honeymoon phase and stuff. Cause like you're also interviewing them, right? Like, do I see myself in that company? And a lot of students that I've mentored, you know, during the shorter tech years, they're like, what can I say to be on their side? Like, what can I do to make them understand that I want to be there? And I was like, don't sell yourself, just be yourself. And if they like you, they like you. I still remember going to the freaking career fairs or Samsung and Apple and Facebook Tesla. At the time, Tesla.
Or not Tesla, but SpaceX.
SpaceX. Oh my gosh. The line
was like around. Like people just lined up. And I was like, I'm glad I'm not an aerospace person. But I was like, I'm going to go over here to the people that don't have anybody figure out what they're about.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. And I got so much swag. It was so much fun though. But you're right. Like sacrificing some class time. To do those things. It was such a beautiful opportunity. Yeah. And at tour guide, or when I was tour guiding, I was like, y'all need to understand that like school is one thing, but you gotta go to internships. You gotta study abroad. You gotta do all these things because life is changing as we know it. And like just getting a 4.0 does not mean anything.
Right. And the important thing about that is actually learning to live life and not just like, I'm going to school, this is all I'm going to do. And then the mm-hmm. school is going to give me the job. It's like, if you don't do anything, not saying you have to go out and party or like, but like, playing an intramural sport or like just trying an activity, joining a club, joining something. It's like, oh, you learn things about yourself or you develop your interests, you develop your taste. And then eventually you meet someone that you may connect with. And it's like having one friend from college or someone that you can still talk to or like a call, like just someone that's like, oh, we have something that we related to. It goes a long way versus just feeling alone in the world. And it's just like, I got to figure this out. Life is hard. Life is difficult. But it's like, if you at least know one other person, it doesn't feel as like difficult and isolated.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like that was one of the things at Georgia Tech that probably got me through, right? Like friends and family and whatnot. And like being alone in anything you do, right? Like you could be a billionaire and then have no friends and like you're unhappy. And I just listened to a podcast. I listened to too many. But they're talking about like, what's happiness?
Yeah.
And he was like, like being happy throughout the process is the way to be as happy as you can in life. Because like if I think Draymond Green was saying this, he was like, when we won the championship, that happiness lasts like a week. But it took us 8 months to get there. Like, if we're miserable for 8 months leading up to the championship, it's not worth it. So you have to understand the intricacies of life and the ways that you have to, you know, sometimes grind, but sometimes relax into that process. Because if you're seeking that at the pinnacle, like graduation or whatever, like, it's just, you're just shooting yourself in the foot and not enjoying your present here and now.
I remember a friend shared it with me, and I think I kind of shared it with him. It's like graduation day feels like you're getting out of jail. You're like, I'm finally free.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh man, graduation was crazy. Yeah, that was a day, because that was like, it was a reality check. But for me, it was just another checkbox, because I busted my butt so hard to get a full-time job. So I graduated in May of 2014, and I got my job offer in October of 2013.
Nice.
2013.
Yeah.
And I'll share that process, because that was wild. So at Georgia Tech, I had two internships and a study abroad. Mm-hmm. And then, so I applied, like I had like three cycles of applications. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you remember, but like at the end of our career at Georgia Tech, they, at Career Buzz, whatever that platform they had, they actually put down how many applications you've submitted. Oh. And it wasn't there until like I was about to leave. And it went back to like, hey, you've been on this platform for this long. Here's how many applications. So check these numbers out. This is crazy. So mind you, I applied to three things in my whole career. So three stages of applications. I submitted 500 applications. Out of all of those 500, I got 50 interviews. And out of those 50 interviews, I got 6 offers.
Wow.
What a ratio.
Yeah. But that's an honest ratio.
I was like, there's people out there that say, I can't get a job. And I'm like, hold up. I have a below 3 GPA. I had all these things against me. But what I thought about was, I'm going to apply 4 times more. I'm going to have the choices of finding a place that I fit in. I'm gonna deny things. I'm gonna apply to things. I'm gonna get interview preps. I loved interviews by the end of it. It was so much fun for me. And that's why I got what I got. And I was happy in my job because of the way that I, you know, applied myself. So that was a crazy stat. I was like, dang, that's how many places I clicked apply to? 500.
That is wild. Like, man, because it's like, not to compare it, but just like looking at the ratio of it, I remember to just talk to like talking to 25 companies in one day, like face to face, being on your feet for 4 hours. It felt like, man, you really had to condition yourself to this. And to the point of what you brought up about learning to interview the interviewer, like asking them, like, why is it that you want me? Like, why is this position open? Like asking probing questions where it's like, oh, like this is a two-way street. It's not just you're trying to chase after them. Like, yep, they have to understand that like there are other companies vying for your attention too. So like you have something to offer. And just the fact that 90% of your applications can be a rejection rate. And it's nothing against you. Maybe you're not the criteria they're looking for. Maybe they don't even see your resume, but it's like you have to go through that rejection process to give yourself a chance to have an opportunity. Because you said 500 to 50 to six. Like to be like, hey, okay, six companies out of 500 decided that they were going to entertain you. And then they like provided an offer of which you could say, okay, I can choose from this one, or that one. But it's like, if you only have one, like, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm too proud to work. So I'm just going to keep hoping for the right thing to show up. Or it's like, oh no, I got to go with the one that picked me and not be bitter about it. Like I can't be on social, just be like, I hate my job. It's like, maybe they don't like you either. Don't make it such like a bad thing. But I love that stat you gave out.
The social is so interesting, because that's like we're so quick to post, right? I'm like, oh my God, look at this. And my Instagram and my socials after college, I like realized I want to inspire others to do things. So I do a lot of hiking snaps or Instagram posts, or nothing like whatever, like career stuff. And like, there's a background to the career stuff. Yeah. Like there's so much stuff I went through, and I finally were in a place that I'm like, wow, I'm so proud of where I did. But just sharing the story of miserableness of like understanding, like, do I belong at this company? Do I belong at this? Like, am I a Georgia Tech student? Mm-hmm. Do I belong here? Like, did I just squeeze my way in? Like, did they just make a mistake and now I'm at Georgia Tech, you know? Which there's a podcast I listened to yesterday, and this guy went to Harvard Business School. Mm-hmm. And they have a joke at Harvard being like, they're the mistake child. They're like, they go into Harvard like, dude, these are so much smarter. How'd I get it? I'm a mistake. Yeah. It's like, no matter what school you go to, everyone feels that way, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Is that imposter syndrome? And it's cool because I actually talked to someone from Australia about that. And it's like that same thing. I felt it like week one orientation. You're meeting students from other places. It's a company of like 40,000 plus people. And like a lot of people just seem more like prepared, rehearsed. They had some family mm-hmm. history where it's like other people are engineers. And like, it's just another day. And like kind of learning to shed some of that for myself has been part of the journey, and being able to do this and just realize how many people I've met or how many people I have the opportunity to meet and practice soft skills, practice maintaining relationships, or just asking better questions to be mm-hmm. like, okay, like I'm not the little kid that went to like Southern Poly at 2008. Like I'm not the little kid that just like was scared to be at Georgia Tech or like finally found his tribe. But like throughout the process, it's been endearing to see that like you change ever so slightly. And it's like you just develop. You never know what it's going to turn into, but just being willing to give it a try, like make an effort. If something's not going right, like being honest about it and being like, okay, maybe it's time to do something else. Maybe it's time to go another way, or like think about this again, or like, okay, is this really worth the effort? Or like, okay, wait, I think I belong here. I think I belong here. Like I'll figure it out, or I'll find my way.
Which I love the I'll figure it out, because we always have to reflect on like, did we figure it out? It's like, yeah, we're here. And I just thought about when you're saying what you said about like a flow chart, and you know, as engineers, we think about, you know, processes, and like, you know, I feel betrayed, or I feel like an imposter. How do you belong here? What did you do to get here? Like, you know, like a flow chart, like, and the very end of it is you belong here, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like a flow chart in your mind of like just convincing yourself that you felt this way before. And right. You've also did well. And like, what made you do? It's a reflectionary thing that I need to get better at too. Because as a teacher, my gosh, like there's days where I'm like, wow, that lesson sucked. Mm-hmm. And I go back home and I'm like, man, I can't do this. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I've been here. I've done this for 5 years. I'm fine. Kids will be okay. You know, it's not the end of the world.
So tell me, how'd you get into teaching, and what'd you decide to teach?
Oh man. So Georgia Tech, that was fun. And in my culture, my parents are from India. So they immigrated here in like 1989 for a better life. And they, in our culture, we want to be doctor, lawyer, engineer. And as a kid, I was like, absolutely, let's go.
Yeah.
Doctor, heck no, can't do blood. hate hospitals, still do. lawyer, too much reading, man. What do you mean? You want me to read? No. Even like the Harry Potter books, after like the first book, I saw I got more and more. I'm like, I'm out. Like, I don't like it that much. Engineer was like an interesting term, but none of my family that immigrated here was an engineer. Like my oldest cousin, that was like my brother to me, struggled, but he became like an accountant, like a top executive at a firm right now.
Yeah.
And so like I was the only one, and I was like, you know what, this is the right thing to do. Let's go to Georgia Tech, let's fly. So after graduation, it was one of those like, now what moments of like, oh, I'm an engineer. Do I know everything now? I don't know. And my dad was happy. My parents were happy. It was great. I went to Schneider Electric, a company, and I was their sales engineer. It was awesome. They gave me a company car, a company card. Like it was just awesome. It was in Nashville, Tennessee. So when I was there, it was cool because we trained with other fresh grads. So like we learned about all of the suites of Schneider, and like everything was great. Like it was just a bunch of young people together.
Yeah.
And then we got out. So we started selling, or I started selling OEM. So it's that, I forgot the word, like what that stands for, but like manufacturers, mm-hmm. I sold them like electrical products that we had. So it's really cool. So I was like going all the, over the Southwest or Southeast, sorry, Georgia, mm-hmm. Carolinas, fun stuff. And after I was going through all these places, I was like, man, this is cool. I love talking to people. I love teaching. Mm-hmm. I love learning. And out of 100 engineering manufacturing places, I saw the lack of diversity, like lack of color and lack of women. There was mm-hmm. nobody there. Yeah. And like, it was eye opening. I was like, okay, I've been to a lot of places and mm-hmm. I don't see that. So I came back home and I was like, man, something's not right. Like, I feel like there can be more women and people of color in this field. Mm-hmm. And I did some research and realized like, it's such a small percentage of people that become it, but also start to think it. Mm. And I was like, how can I impact society in a way where like, I am an engineer, I've done the hard stuff, but inspire others to do the same thing. And the best avenue I thought at the time was teaching. And a couple of my college friends were teachers. And I was like, hey, could I shadow you in a classroom? And they're like, yeah, of course. And then one thing led to another. And I went to Clarkston, Georgia. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that area, but that's a high refugee place. Mm-hmm. So a lot of refugees go to Clarkston, Georgia, and there's a high school there. And this was like the most profound moment for me. And this is why I pursued what I did. Mm-hmm. There was like 15 different cultures, like people from all over the place. And it was just thriving. Like, you go into the school and it's just amazing to see all the different cultures. And there was a girl in one of the classes I was shadowing, and like I introduced myself. I think I wore the same shirt there, and she's about to graduate. And she was like, excuse me, sir. So I'm about to graduate and I was going to go to Georgia Tech, but like I heard, and I want to do automotive engineering. And she's like, but I heard girls can't do that. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's nothing the fault of, you know, her parents. They don't know any.
Right.
They don't know any engineers. They just came to this country. So what's going on, right? So I was like, no, of course, you know, there's a lot of girls that pursue all types of engineering, and you could definitely do it. Mm-hmm. And it was that at that moment, I was like, man, people need to know that that's possible.
Right.
And that's when it clicked to me, and I started applying to different colleges in the West Coast, because why not? It's the West Coast. And I got a scholarship at ASU to pursue master's in math education.
Oh, nice. Not a bad choice either.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the second part, which I totally forgot. Yeah. How do you inspire engineers?
Yeah.
Math. And like the way you think about math, not just like, here's the answer. No, that's stupid. You know, it's right. How do you get there? Explain it to me, like all those level details. So
I like how you described it and how that kind of played out for you. I don't know if I've thought about that, the same thing. Why are there less people of color? But I think part of it, when I think about it for myself, it's like, maybe at times, like, it's easy to talk yourself out of something, but then I kind of play with that fine line of like, am I trying to find an easy way out, or am I trying to find something that I really like? Because like, coming out of college, I went into, I went to work for a construction company, which is like a construction civil engineering company. And they've been around for like close to 130 years. I think they may have gotten bought out or like merged recently. But it was like kind of the same thing when you get out and you figure out there's a rigor to it. And for me, not being as social, I guess some people would say I can be shy, like reserved, like soft-spoken, but it's like, I learned very quickly that you have to present yourself in a certain way. So you have to come out of yourself, and you can't just be comfortable with like, I'm just going to do me, and I need to be accommodated. But it's like, it kind of sucks to hear, but it is like a reality where people say, either like some people will say Black people don't do this or women don't do that because they've never been exposed to it. But at times it's freeing to see when someone's like, hey, I want to do this, but I'm just going to go pursue it. I'm not thinking about what I look like, what other people that are like me look like there, but actually learning to be comfortable in your own skin. But I'm glad you were able to speak to that young lady while you were there. Mm-hmm. And she was even able to ask the question, because some people wouldn't even ask the question. It's just like, this is what I've been told, and that's kind of what I'm going to live by. And it's like, you just keep doing life and you feel kind of aggravated, but you can't put your finger on like what's really bothering you, or like why you can't get over a hump, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to hear that from you, because it's like, that is a challenge. And just math in particular, being able to explain that, because if you have, like, it makes a world of difference if you have a good teacher versus you have a bad teacher, because someone could tell you, you're never going to be anything, you can't do this, you don't need to do this. So then you just do what everybody else does. And it's like, people have their preferences, they have their the default, but it's like, it's kind of cool to do something where you don't see other people that look like you, and other people may be encouraged by you. But then it's like, when, at least for me, I found it recently, when I'm doing what I'm doing, I don't think about, like, where does my, I don't think of, like, oh, I'm a Black guy doing this. I'm like, no, I'm going to do this thing that, like, I took interest in, I'm studying, and I'm kind of exploring it. I happen to be Black, cool. And even when somebody else that's Black meets me, they're like, oh, you're this kind of Black person. And it's like, no, I have no clue what you're talking about. So it's like, you made a whole bunch of assumptions about me. And I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about. I'm like, please educate me, because it's like, there's such, there's such, like, a broad spectrum of things in the world where it's like, there's just so much opportunity of things to learn. So it's like, that's amazing. Like, teaching is kind of near and dear to my heart, because it's a childhood nickname for me. So anytime I see a teacher or someone that takes pride in teaching, it always warms my heart.
It's great to know. Yeah, it's tough, but it's also like, I mean, statistically, you do what you see, right? Like, women become teachers because that's what they see. There's more women as teachers. Absolutely. Our school that I work for now is, like, realizing we need more Black male teachers. We need them to stay. We need them to be front facing. And, like, there's a big push to try to get more Black educators in, into the building to teach. And I was part of the hiring committee, and I was trying to help with that as well. And it's hard. It's really hard, because, I mean, just imagine, you go to any university, and, like, let's say you're a woman and you go into engineering school and you see, like, 50 guys and you're, like, the only girl. You're like, you know? I remember those classes for me, and I felt bad, you know, like, oh my gosh. And my cousin was a civil engineer in India. And, like, it was times 10 over there, because way, way less women were pursuing anything engineering, let alone education. And she was like, I had one girlfriend, and that's what we just literally stuck together the whole time. And she was like, it could have been miserable if I didn't have someone, but at least she was a girl and, like, understood where I was going through. So it's like, having those support systems in those areas is just as important as getting more Black kids and Mexican students and Latinx and Indians all into college. That's great. You got them there. But how do you keep them there? How do you allow them to thrive and be who they want to be? So that's my next venture, is, like, how do I go into university to, like, continue to inspire people of color and women to, like, hey, stick with it, you got this, and if you need anything, I'm here for you.
That's awesome, because, like, recently I guess things seem to be more and more political forever, and, like, it kind of annoys me, and it's like nails on a chalkboard, but I'm like, I feel like the conversation's done a disservice a lot of times, because I'm like, your people, when they speak, they're speaking to a challenge or an issue, but I'm like, maybe they're not asking smart questions, or they're not asking well thought out questions to be like, keep going on that, keep digging. It's not just like, why are there not people here, or, like, why do they not believe they can, but okay, once you get here, how are you going to be different? Are you just going to expect to be the same person, have the same mindset, and not change anything about yourself? It's like, okay, there's something there that doesn't have me in it. When I go there, I'm going to put my flavor to it. I'm going to do this. It's like, okay, maybe you can do that, but maybe you can also understand why something works the way it works without, like, undermining it, but maybe developing something that helps everybody else that's there thrive, and to be like, oh wow, like, without this person, we wouldn't have known that we don't need to sit here and do long division. Like, okay, we have this program that works for us, like, we can do that. Like, now, instead of talking past each other, we can use psychology and engineering, and, like, we can use public speaking skills and actually know how to communicate our ideas. Like, the thing for me that was maybe I'd say sad and interesting at the same time, to see, like, where you grow and where other people haven't grown, is when you do group presentations. And it's like, you see the people that are very smart, and the professor at the beginning we had this class where they intentionally brought a writing professor with an engineering professor, and she would basically tear up our work to show us, like, here's the gaps and the mistakes. Like, if you give a chart or if you give statistics, you need to have basic things like titles, headings, things like, you have to describe what's there for someone that's never done engineering a day in their life. And you don't want to bore them as you're talking. You want to get to the point, state the facts, interest them in, like, coming along with you. You want to tell them a straightforward story. And it's like, some people, they seem to take it as, I do what I want. Like, I'm going to do things my way and, like, forget your suggestions and all that. Like, I'm going to do it the way I understand it to be. So it's, they say, when you're presenting in a group, if this person's going to start, once they stop speaking, don't have them jump in after someone's presentation. Like, this isn't a barbershop quartet where, like, one person's singing and the other person sings and it's like harmonize. It's like, just keep it simple. And then just small things like that. It's encouraging to see where things fit together. And teachers that actually take the time to think about what they're going to teach about. And then when they get the feedback, they're able to adjust and not just be like, this is what I'm going to teach. If you don't like it, I'm failing. Get out of my class. It's like, that sucks.
Yeah. I like to think that no matter where I go, I'm not happy with what has been, you know? And like, if you're hiring me to be in a mold into, this is what our teachers do, or this is what my company does, that's not me. I always question why. I'm like, this is the engineer in me. I want to be efficient. You know, like, I don't want to teach something 5 times and they still don't understand it. I don't got time for that. Okay.
Yeah.
But what I do have time for is teaching it twice and saying, wait, what didn't you understand? Specifically point to that. Oh, that radicalizing the denial. Okay, makes sense. I got you. Here's a video, right? Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful part about technology nowadays. You're not alone teaching these things. Math, as you know, as everyone knows, has been around forever. And why are we all standing on a whiteboard, writing everything down like our professors did? You don't learn. You're not learning anything. You're just writing.
Yeah.
And most kids are mimicking. And like, engineering is not about mimicking. It's about thinking. And if you want to be an engineer, you got to think. Like, if I gave you X plus Y equals this, now I say X plus Y plus Z equals this, are you going to trip out? Are you going to flake? Like, just, I'm out, I can't. Or are you going to be like, wait, that's interesting. How can I use what I have to get to where I need to be?
Right.
And that's what engineering is about. It's not about a specific a math set. Just math's whatever. You can get that with Wolfram Alpha, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. It's the why behind it. So like, even these factoring polynomials, yeah. So scary for everybody. And I challenge, I went to the department. I was like, why are we doing this? Like, oh, it's in the curriculum. And like
where are you going to use this in real life?
Where are you gonna, we have computers for that, right? They're like, well, it's important for calculus. I was like, that's great. Half these kids are not going to calculus, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spend more time on graphing and moving graphs and understanding how graphs look like. And like, for instance, we did the logarithmic scale of COVID deaths and COVID cases. Like, why does it look different in exponential than logarithmic? Mm-hmm. Now go out in society and figure out how we can do a log and exponential graph and look at the differences. Why does it look like that? What's the base? Like, those are the questions we need to ask and spend way more time on than here's factoring, here's division, here's that. That's not what an engineer does.
Right.
Don't care for that. It's the why behind it. And it's hard. It's so hard for high school people to unlearn the bad habits of give me the answer.
Yeah.
But that becomes better for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think if I'm always grateful for my first English 101 professor at Southern Poly. I don't know if you ever had him. I think it's Dr. Iraj Abmidvar. I had him for English 101 and I had him for world history. And it completely blew my mind what he taught me in 4 months that I didn't learn in 4 years of high school. Wow. And he didn't come into the class with a judgment of you should already know this, because that's what our high school teachers would say every single day. And I was like, I wish you would actually teach me what I need to know instead of reinforcing what I don't know.
Oof.
And then verbally spanking me for what I don't know. And it's like, it could be a thing of like stress. I don't know what they have. Like, now thinking as an adult, I was like, I don't know what they have going on personally in their lives. Like, they could be on edge. They might've been doing this 30 years, 40 years, 15 years, 5 years. And they're just like at their wit's end. It's like, I got to get these kids through this program, get them through the system and so on and so forth. But like being introduced to how to write story, like how to form an argument, or have a debate or a discussion where it doesn't have to land on a conclusion where like there's a winner and a loser, but it's like being able to have dialogue or to see different perspectives and like listen to the other person without like being offended or convincing them that your idea is right and it's the only idea that matters. It's like just seeing those things come back to me like through therapy or just like in my personal life where it's like something happens and I have to ask myself, like, did that offend me? Like, why did it offend me? It's like, can I sit with that for a minute and just be like, this will pass. It's not the end of the world. And I know how to get over this. I don't have to wear this like a weight around my neck and have it just like drag me down all the time. But it's just remembering those little things and being able to piece them together, but just having someone to just uncover something for a minute to be like, let's think about this differently, and that just rinse and repeat, rinse and rinse and
repeat. Yeah, perspective is a powerful word. You said that. I mean, that's life right there, right? Like if you're zoom out, you're like, you made it this far. You got this, you know? And like there's kids that I get, they're straight A students that come into my class and get A's. Great. Mm-hmm. There's kids that are straight A students, they get a B and they cry. They bawl their eyes out with a B. And I'm like, I'm so glad you have that opportunity to do it in my class. Because I know how to handle this and I know you're safe, you're taken care of, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I tell the kids that have straight A's, like, you're going to have some adversity, but I'd rather you have it in my class, because I've seen some teachers out there and I'm like, they don't care. You know, like, let's be real, you know? And there's the teachers that have been there for 30 years or 20, like you said, whatever. But it's also like, why say kids should know this coming into here? Why don't you say this instead? Kids should know this, but I'm here to help those that don't so that we all can thrive together. I'm all about classroom vibes, right? Like if you vibe out, it is so much fun. If the kids are all at the same level, right? It's like the best thing ever. But it takes months of work, and it's called low floor, high ceiling tasks. Mm-hmm. Low floor meaning I don't assume nothing, like X plus X equals 2X. I don't think you know that, and that's fine. We're going to do X plus X equals 2X and X plus X equals X squared. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me why one is more correct than the other. And you're going to explain to each other. And then we're going to go to the board and you're going to explain to other people. They're going to debate about why that's the case. And then you're going to understand that sometimes you can be right and wrong. Mm-hmm. So you got to be humble about it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh, makes sense. Thank you for that perspective. And then we walk away. That's more valuable than sitting down and rote regurgitation of just crap that we just don't care about and saying, oh, plug it into the formula. Whoa.
Just right until your hand cramps up and you're just like, oh my God, this is a AP class. This is an IB class. This is a graduate course. Oh my God, I'm doing all this work. And it's like, oh, no, so you didn't actually learn anything. You didn't learn how to think. And now when a problem presents itself, it's like, what do I do?
Where's the help? I get to college and professors don't really care much. They're like, you have recitation. Like those TAs are like, you know, burnt out too.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh my gosh. And it's just so humbling to go through that experience, you know? And I feel like it's my duty as an educator to have that experience quickly for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, you're going to pay so much. We're right next to Northwestern University, top tier school. Some kids are going there. Some kids are like, I'll never get there. That's totally fine. But that keeps me in perspective of like, yo, this shit gets harder.
Yeah.
And it's going to be how you react to that. Because if you're not resilient, you're going to drop out. You're going to waste a lot of time, of money, and then you're going to be lost. But be lost here because I got you. We're going to understand it together and we're going to vibe out.
How's that been received by the students and other faculty at the school?
When I first got hired at the school, I definitely felt imposter syndrome because I felt like that wasn't the culture. But that was because I thought other people thought that I was weird and I was like off the cuff and like blah, blah, blah. Right. And I was like, no one cares what you think. You're here for a reason. My mentor teacher was like, we hired you to be you. Don't be anybody else. And I was like, damn. Okay. Bet. So the kids are definitely the straight A students are, they hate it. It's the best. I love it. Like, just give it to me. No, I'm not giving you the answer. Like, I also teach engineering as well. So like intro to engineering and math. So like
nice.
Intro engineering kids are like the straight A students going to this, going to Yale, whatever it is. And they're just like love, just making them mad. Because that's the thing about Georgia Tech, and those kids made me mad. Like, ooh, I have the power. Because they think they know everything. And it just humble us. Like, we're going slow. And you know this, as we get older, we understand that just understanding it yourself is like one level. Mm. You communicating your understanding to somebody else is the highest level.
Yeah.
And those kids that are straight A students that I've seen in my experience can't explain worth anything. They understand it their way. And they know that's the way and that's it. But when they explain to other people, they get annoyed and like, oh my gosh, I don't understand. I'm like, yes, perfect. Struggle. You know, like, there it is.
That's why it takes me back to that presentation time when it's like senior design project or it's this thing that, and it's like, you could kind of see how people group themselves where for me, I remember the transfer students kind of got the side eye where it's like the kids that were the geniuses are like, I've been here. I put in years, my freshman year. I'm the one that's taking linear algebra and calculus two in the same semester. And I'm like, all respect. I'm like, I wouldn't have done that. But like, again, kind of going to some of that imposter syndrome where it's that, I don't know if people feel this or that, but at some point it's like, you can't care. But I kind of left, it's like you leave the door open to where all the transfer students are willing to work together. And like some of the other, students that went to tech from their first year onto graduation, it's like they learned that the ones that were at least cool to hang out with, everyone was of the mindset of like, you get further by working with other people. Like, you have to do the job yourself, like test time, no one's there to help you, and you have to learn the material enough to be able to take the test effectively and to think on the fly when the problems are different. And it's like, this wasn't what you taught in class, but it's like, if you learn the principles that were taught, you know what to do. It's like, it's not different. It's different, but it's not different. And it's like seeing the people that got it and went on and like did well in their presentations, but seeing the people that were like extra cocky. And then when it was time to present and get their ideas across, everyone's kind of like, you don't know what you're talking about. Professor doesn't know what you're talking about. And now you got egg on your face. You're mad. You're frustrated. And it's like, you're really frustrated at yourself. Like, nobody did this to you, but like you're having to sit with the reality of like, these are my actions. And like, it might not happen in that moment. It might happen like 10 years later. And if you choose to reflect back on that, but it's like seeing that it's like a mini poke at that type of person, but it's like, it's a nice humbling in a way to be that you get what you want out of life, but sometimes you also have to learn how to get it. And you're not always going to get what you want when you want it. Like, you got to learn patience, you got to learn to be humble, you got to learn how to learn. And just like, when something doesn't go your way, you're not a child, you're not a 2-year-old, you don't throw a tantrum. It's like we act different as adults, and like
we try. That's funny. That's two things off of that, because I love the how would you say, there's something you just said that just slipped my mind, like you learn, like just willingness to understand that you don't know it. Like, the moment you think you know, you stopped learning. And if you stop learning, you should be the smartest kid in the world, the smartest person in the world, and you're not. No one is, you know. And the, like you said, being humble about that experience is such a beautiful thing. And like, when students are like smart but like good people and like helping other students without me saying it, I'm like, that's what's all about. Like, this is going to work, you know? And funny that you said 2-year-olds tantrums. I'm at a summer camp, and I coach tennis, or it's an activity. It's not like a coaching tennis, but they range from 3 to 11. And wow, talk about tantrums, you know? And it's so interesting, because I love, like, psychology is so awesome to me, because it's just like, there's groups of kids, right? They're 3, 4 years old, and they can barely hold a racket up. Okay. And when they hold it, they're just like, you know, they're throwing all over the place. They're very literal, right? The moment you say, all right, touch your toes, I'll touch the toes, touch it, like, they're doing everything. But this is crazy. So this girl, we had this drill where, like, you basically golf the ball into like a hula hoop. Very simple. And if you got better, you went level 1, level 2, level 3. And all the kids, like 99% of them, are all having a great time. Oh my gosh, so hard, blah, blah, blah. One kid goes up to level 3, and every level she came up to me like, hey, look, I did it. I'm like, that's great. Continue going. And then she got to level 3, and then all of a sudden people started passing her. Mind you, this is a 4-year-old, and she just sat down. She's like, I'm done. I was like, why? What happened? She's like, everyone's passing me. I was like, that's fine. Why are you looking at other people? She's like, well, they're better than me. I'm like, No, they're not. They just have a can attitude. You have a can not attitude. You can do it. So she's like, okay, fine. She gets up and does again and fails and just sits back down again. Like literally goes to the corner and like, huh. And 4 years old. And I did the best that I could to talk to her. And this was a fascinating part. At the end, she comes up to me and like all the girls are like, around me, like, oh, hey, good job. Like I'm just like pointing out, good job doing this, good job. And she like butts into the front and she's like, do you know? I'm coached by a professional tennis player and I'm in green ball and I'm actually really good at tennis. And I was like, wow, this girl like gave up when things got hard. But the moment she was leaving the situation was just like, I'm better than everybody, just so you know. And then walks away. And I was like, dang, that is actually kind of sad. As a 4-year-old to have that. And like, we all are like a bigger version of our smaller self. Of like the imposter syndrome times 10 as a 4-year-old, and imagine that as an adult. So it's just interesting where we are what we are as kids, but we have to like go back to that level and be like, oh wait, you're okay, you're taken care of, it's a fun thing, it's all good. And then you kind of go from there, and therapy is a great way to do that. And I'm glad that you talked about it, and I'm also in therapy and it helps a lot by reflecting why we are who we are.
And I mean, to that example that you gave, it's like it's easy to judge and to be like, oh, maybe that's preppy kid or kid or parents kind of made her that way. But it's like some things you're just not aware of. Like you just, especially at 4 years old, you're not gonna have the intellect of like a 30-year-old, or like just like having the opportunity to have someone explain something to you and you actually be able to be like, oh yeah, I get that. It's the reason why you don't talk to a kid and they're just like, yeah, you're right. I don't need that cookie right now. What was I even bawling about? You good,
That'd be kind
buddy.
of weird if they
You
acted
good. It's
that
like be
way.
like, let me go figure my life out. A 4-year-old just had an intellectual conversation with me right now. I don't know. I don't know if we're being visited by aliens or what's going on.
Definitely an alien. It's very interesting because I've taught now like all ages, and it is so cool to see. And like it's a funny story I tell people. When I got into teaching, I was like, corporate adults acted like kids with their high school like banter, and I was like, I'm just gonna go teach high schoolers. Like, you guys act like it, so I'm gonna go teach high school.
Nice. So you landed on teaching high schoolers. Has that been like your whole teaching career so far, or have you thought about going to lower or higher?
That's a great question. And I appreciate you saying lower or higher. Oftentimes I had a little post on LinkedIn about like in corporate, when you say I am this, but I'm going to be this, and it's always something higher. And when a corporate person asks me like, hey, you're teaching, are you going to be a professor? I'm like, why not just be a teacher? Like, is that, that's okay, you know? Like, you want to be department head? Absolutely not. I don't want to deal with adults. Like, what do you mean? I got out of that, you know? And so you're the first person that said lower or higher. That's awesome. And I appreciate that because, yeah, I thought about little kids, and then I did the summer camp, and I'm like, no way in heck. I'm like, just imagine just a tennis court full of 4-year-old, and you're telling them to do a task that you think is simple, go to the cone and back, and it's just chaos. Like, I can't imagine teaching them, and this is only like 30-minute chunks. I can't imagine doing that for 8 hours. And it's funny because the elementary school teachers tell me about that, about high school teachers, and we say, right, like, it's just the same perspective. Like, we can't do that. But yeah, I'll be a high school teacher for some time. I tried middle school out. That's too much for me. My bread and butter is 11th grade because I feel like what I say is more, like, it resonates with them more because they're kind of like out the door, like SATs, ACTs. And I have a big philosophy of like, you're not ready to learn until you're ready to accept things. Like, I wasn't ready to understand things that my parents told me growing up. And all of a sudden, I'm 30. I was like, oh, wow, you're right about that. Like, I was ready to receive that at 30, right? Instead of them telling me at 10. And I'm like, saving up, ew, I want to buy bubblegum. And then I'm like, whoa, I could have made $1 million if I spent $5 of my salary, you know? So people learn till they're willing to learn. But I've been teaching different things. I've been coaching basketball. I coached tennis. I coached cross country, like a little volunteer thing to see if I liked it. The tennis coach at a summer camp. I do philosophy classes to students, like teach them, no, sorry, philanthropy classes. So I teach them about philanthropy through an organization, and like how to give back and like do research and like what does a philanthropist do. And then I just recently got an opportunity that I might teach at a a university, some math courses there as well. So I just love teaching. I love education. And I encourage everyone to be like, what's the highest level of thing that you want to do? And mine's education. I don't care what I do as long as it's education, and right. I'll be happy regardless. So that's where I'll be forever.
I like that. Well, maybe you can help me understand how you pick the different things that you're doing now, like from the time that you decided, okay, I went through engineering, I did got an experience in sales, and I see that part of teaching is what I like in this. Mm-hmm. So now let me go pursue education. And now maybe I get an idea of who I want to teach, what I want to teach, mm-hmm. like what impact I have. I thought it was very key when you said 11th grade, because it's like, it's what you landed on. It's really a pivotal point for most young adults where it's like, okay, do I go to college to get a degree, to get a job, or do I get a trade, or do I? And it's like being able to have an impact on someone's life to be like, well, you actually have a choice in this. There's what mm-hmm. your parents say, there's what's expected of you, but like, here's a chance for you to actually think on it. And whatever you think may not be this decision at 16, 17, 18 years old is for the rest of your life forever.
For the rest of
your
life, yeah.
It's like, that's a scary thing to be like, 11th grade, I applied to all these colleges. I got to get in, I got to get this grade. It's like, there's that stress, that pressure yes. of like, I'm the team captain, I've got to be a scholar athlete. Yes. I've got it. It's like, how did you get to this point? And also looking into things like philanthropy
mm-hmm.
from the time that you decided on Arizona State University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it started with just like, I love teaching. Like in Georgia Tech, I was tutoring my friend, which is funny because she did better in tests than I did, even though I tutored her. We're still friends today. She's awesome. And I just realized I'm going to start with the basics, and I don't go into anything until I research it. So, or like go and volunteer my time. And that's why I decided in math and engineering, actually math first. And then I realized that engineering is being taught to high schoolers. It's like a thing called PLTW. Mm-hmm. And it's a course that engineers and teachers made together to inspire high school students.
Is that Project Lead the Way?
Project Lead the Way. Yeah.
That's what I did. That's how I got into
it. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I love that you said that, because that's, yeah, some students that go through that pathway get inspired for that. So I teach the intro course to that. I did in Arizona State, when I was in Arizona. And it just kept going from there. I was like, I love teaching in different aspects, like coaching. I coach middle school basketball. And that's so interesting in its own way, because I can only handle middle schoolers that I realized for myself in basketball, because I love that. And I love the intricacies of it. And like, okay, how do I move this player? How do I get this person to understand that he could be this great? And like, it's a different way of educating.
Gotcha.
Philanthropy is a whole different ball game too. It's like, how do these kids that are labeled as rich kids, right, mm-hmm. understand that philanthropy is such a big deal? And like, you can't just be, you know, white savior complex and be like, oh, look, I saved the world, and like, call it a day. Like, you don't just wipe your hands off of that.
Right.
So just inspiring in that way, right? And then coaching cross country, of like, it seems so easy. Like, I didn't realize cross country is a 5K. That's not much, you know? And I was like, yeah, I do like half marathons here. You're like, what's going on? And they're like, but they do this for a different reason, and like how to be physically fit, mentally fit while running past your like the past the wall. So it's all different ways of educating that I really appreciate. And it keeps me excited every day of just doing different avenues of like my purpose, like my purpose to educate, but different ways.
Yeah. And that's awesome, because to me, it seems like you really took engineering like past the phase of just being a job, and you really incorporated that into yourself. It's like,
mm-hmm.
going through the engineering school, working an engineering job, those aren't the only things that make you an engineer. It's like, you've already mm-hmm. gone through the process that just makes you that for life. And it's you found the things that kind of call to you in your life, and you've gone the extra step of being like, okay, how do I make it fit in this realm? Like, I can mm-hmm. teach high school kids math and engineering, but I can teach middle school kids basketball, and I can teach affluent kids how to actually negotiate their resources with the people that may potentially need them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Like, a lot of good things happen when you realize where you want to be. Like, if you want to be in investment, like banking, right? It's not investment banking, it's I want to be in finance. Like, just have that. And I tell the kids, like, what industry excites you, right? Like, I don't say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think this is a stupid question, because if you ask me, I'm an engineer, look at me now. So like, am I a disappointment?
Yeah.
Did I mess up, right? Like, No, you didn't mess up. You just didn't think about the bigger picture. And my bigger picture, if I were to look back, is I would have problem solved. Mm-hmm. I want to be there. I want to inspire others to be like, you can do this. And that avenue is education. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to get through to students of the next generation to think that they can do anything that they put their mind to. That is it. You cannot just, you know, you can't just yell at the wall and be like, oh my God, like I work at this engineering firm and all the interns are like stupider than Lash. It's like, no, do something about it and take away pride, take away money. I lost so much money going into education. I don't think about that because guess what? I'm back to where I was. Money-wise, I'm so much happier. I love what I do. And like pride is such a big deal. Like when investment bankers become something else, like, oh my gosh, man, I worked 100 hours and like, I feel like a failure because I just switched careers. It's like, no. You feel great. You did what you got to do in your 3 years of life. Now move on and be okay with that.
That's dope. I guess, would you say, did engineering help you develop who you wanted to be?
Absolutely. Yeah. It challenged my perspective. And I love that word, perspective. And combine that with psychology. Oh my gosh. Like sales engineering is what it was called. It allowed me to be like, I sell differently to a CEO than I do an architect, than I do an engineer, than I do a purchasing guy.
Yeah.
But they all have to talk to each other. They all have to say yes. What? How do I not manipulate, but like kind of work with what I'm given and engineer my way through that.
Right.
I have a kid who's defiant. The first thing I say is not da-da-da-da. No, it's, hey, are you okay? Are you sleeping? Are you eating? How's life at home? You know, so it's like that was what engineering was to me. And that's definitely how I can view the bigger picture of things, where a lot of people that are teachers that haven't been in my shoes, you know, they're like, oh, this kid should know this. And therefore they don't, they're dead to me, like not dead to me, but like, they're just like, they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. That's why. Not my problem. It's going to be the next teacher's problem. I'll pass them with a D-, so that they'll go into the next class. And I've seen a lot of those.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let me not keep you too much, but I appreciate your time. And just, it was great catching up and being able to do this, because it's like, I've been meaning to do this, and just like, just continuing to reach out and just see where people are and even what I can learn, because I've thought about teaching before, but you encouraged me to look at it differently and just wanting to be able to give back to people and especially younger kids, to be like, okay, hey, I was in your position before, and just learning how to actually reach someone that's not where you are, but helping them to, with a little bit of the information that I have, with where they may want to go, and being able to step back and just celebrate their win without it being like, look at what I did, but like actually learning to appreciate people is something that I'm gaining from this year in 2020. And just going forward, I'm like, regardless of what happens, if a car breaks down or something, like whatever, I'm like, I'm better than I was. And a lot of life has been very well.
Yeah. And the best part about what you said is, you know, you can still do what you do. You can just give back and different. You still work your 9 to 5 and tutor or whatever after, you know. And that's what I did. Like, I worked after 5 o'clock. I went to go tutor, and like, I still gave back in that way. So it's great, because America is amazing. And this is the last thing I'll leave with, because I think this is awesome. Like, we tend to be like, oh my gosh, America, politics, this and that. And I'm like, dude, America's awesome. You can pivot to whatever the heck you want to do. You can do and be whatever you want to be, as long as you just be like, this is good for me and not what society wants. I want the social media is the right post. Like, if I become this, do I look cooler on social media? Right? Like, there are countries out there where you're frowned upon in society if you become this, or this. And in America, it's not that way, because you perceive other people that might think that way, and you can pivot as much as you want. And if you're not pivoting and readjusting and thinking about that, you're not living, because sometimes you're not happy, and that's okay. But what are you going to do about that happiness? And America allows you to be like, hey, I can go back to school. Go ahead. There's scholarships. Go ahead. Figure out something. And that's why I love America. And I appreciate my parents to give me that opportunity, because in India, it was not that way. It was a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or nothing else. Like, that's their mantra there.
Right, right.
And at least in America, it's doctor, lawyer, engineer, or you choose, you know? Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. I appreciate the opportunity, Asher, and it was a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, have a great day.